I thought we were still singing, so
I don't know what we're doing.
Since we're not singing anymore, maybe Jason and I will sing real quick.
Yeah, there you go.
How about that?
I would like to say that Dave just asked us to do this 12 minutes ago, and there has been no planning, there's been no practicing.
We know what you guys put up with Dave.
If this is awful, it's not our fault. It's his fault. Literally, like, I don't even know that I can sing right now, so we'll see.
We'll do it. Then we can
have do like some stretching or something.
We can have the excuse then. So.
Okay. You have a mic on. Is that on? Are you using
this? This is not on. That's on right now.
Yeah, that confused me for a minute. Okay. I don't know what I need, Dave. I have no idea what I need. Okay. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O
we just ended with the best
verse.
That was
the last verse. One more. Oh.
The best verse.
Well, then sing two and then sing three.
What's going on?
No, you're killing
geez.
Us. We're not performing monkeys,
this is,
Dave.
Okay. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one.
Okay, here's the deal.
We'll join you.
Anyone else who knows this song, or if you don't know this song, get your hymnal out. 562. We're not doing this last one on our own. The third one, I guess.
Third one. Number three.
Verse three we'll all do, so we're not just up here being monkeys.
But we skipped three.
Verse three.
We're going to do three. We'll end with three.
Three
we already
and four.
Did one, four, and we went back to
Dave
two.
Dave won three and four.
Dave,
I feel like
you're
he's demanding
us.
Today.
All right.
Three
and four
together.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's
no
it,
more.
Dave.
Okay.
We're going to start praying for all of you differently now
yes.
going forward. We see what you put up with Dave here.
All right. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. King of heaven, my treasure, thy art.
Four.
High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own. O ruler of all.
The second two at the end were the best ones,
yes,
Dave,
by far the best.
When everyone else was part of it.
Dave.
All right, so.
Are we going to start the video first or no?
We'll show you real quick. We'll give a synopsis of who we are. You remember last time we came? Maybe you don't. We're the Johnsons. Last time was end of 2016, I think, 2016. Mm-hmm. I had shattered my collarbone, if you remember.
Hit on a big sling.
Bella
thing.
Was still working through her exercises to improve her back condition. My collarbone's not as good as new, but it's not as good as God first made it. But it is. He has done a great job repairing it. Bella is back in great form, and the doctors released her fully, which is a praise.
As long as she continues to do her exercises. So. If you all want to guilt her about
that's
that,
right,
she's a teenager.
Right.
She doesn't like them. You
now,
know?
Last time she played basketball. Now she's playing soccer, which is a great aspect for her. She loves soccer, so that's a good help for her to get exercise mm-hmm. done. And then why don't you introduce, and I'll point to
Oh, you can go back to the picture.
Can you do that, Dave?
Just real quick. So this is a picture of our family. We have extras that are living with us, so that's part of our story. But there's Gwenny, who's right there. Gwenny's right there. That's Chiara. She is our Italian exchange student that we have living with us. That's me. That's Andy. That's Lucy. That's Bella, who's right there. That's Ellie, who is our German student that lives with us. And that's Francesca. She was another Italian student that lived with us for 3 months, and she has since gone back to Italy. Andy lives with lots of women, so pray for him. And then this is Ellie and Chiara. This is like our family that it is right now.
Yep.
They are not here this weekend. They had an event to do with their exchange student organization this weekend. That was mandatory. And then
they've been with us since last July. So this is literally the first time that the five of us as a family has been without them since July. So we're enjoying that break, but we also miss them in different ways. So,
yeah. So that's him. Yeah. Chiara's the one, the shorter one. And then Ellie's the taller one.
All right, and then we have a video here that's, what did it
like
say, Dave?
Two
minutes, good.
Shoot.
That's more time I have to preach, so, no, I'm just kidding. We'll let you watch that. It's just a brief
So this is a video about the school, if you got the handout, Black Force Academy, where we're headed. And the video is just, they will refer to it as BFA, because it's easier than saying Black Force Academy every time. So if you hear that, that's what that is. And it's just a video, it just shows some of the kids at the school, and just kind of explaining a little bit about it. That's all. Here, sit down so they can.
Let's go over here.
I got teary too on that.
So Black Force Academy is where many of the students, not all of them, are sent to go to high school there, away from their families, in some way similar to what we have with Chiara and Ellie that are living with us right now. Their families have sent them all the way over the seas to live with us. And it's a blessing for us because we get to kind of raise these girls, and you know, we do our best to be Christ-centered and biblical, and let our lives be a shining light for them. So in the same way, we're going to be dorm parents for at least 20 kids that are going to be sent to Black Forest from anywhere in Asia, anywhere in Africa, anywhere in Europe, even North America sometimes will send people over, but these kids will become kind of our kids that we raise for an entire year, that we have to devote our lives to, feeding them, encouraging them, crying with them.
Helping with homework.
I get it. Maybe that's my part.
Math is your kind of math. Okay. Math.
So in some ways, we're stepping into a role that we've already kind of been doing already with Ellie and Chiara. But
is it my turn?
I guess.
Okay. Last time we were here, we had left Italy, and you know, that was a hard thing for us, because that was not what we thought the Lord had in mind for us. You know, we went there assuming we were going to be there till we retired, or you know, 20 years max. I mean, we had it planned out, because the good missionaries go and they never come back and they stay forever, and you know,
in
this was
place.
Our yeah, and we didn't have a choice. We had to come back. And, you know, Bella always felt like she felt awful about it, like it was her fault and she felt responsible. And, you know, we've worked through that. It was what the Lord wanted for us. And it was just, it was part of the path. But it was hard. I'm not going to lie. Like, there's a lot of feelings of just failure and just that we let people down. And, you know, even though it wasn't, you know, nothing on our part, it was just a bad situation. And we really were not sure why the Lord did that. Why would you do that? You had people there that were trying to serve. Why would you bring them back? Like, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But when we came back, the only thing that we did know was that no matter where we go, our family just, we just kind of have an open door family. That's just kind of how we are. We just kind of have our family's doors are open and people just tend to find us. I don't really know. They just kind of find us. So we knew that the Lord wanted us to have people living with us, which sounds really bizarre when you explain that to people. Like, try explaining that to your friends or something. The Lord wants us to have people living with us. What? You know, it's not a normal thing. But that's literally all that we knew, was that the Lord wanted us to have someone living in our home with us. And Andy calls it discipleship living because we don't really know what else to call it. So, you know, we were here and we had shared that we found this great house that let us have people living with us. And then we get this house and we're like, okay, Lord, all these people are going to show up on our doorstep. And then there's no one there.
And we're going to be supported.
And we're going to be support. I mean, we had this all planned out. And then there was no one there. And the agency couldn't support us part-time in America. It doesn't work legally. And with taxes, it wasn't working. And so everything that we thought was supposed to happen didn't work again. And so, you know, we had some rough months in there of just not understanding, but we still knew the whole time through it that the Lord wanted us to have people living with us. That's the only part that we did know. So with our extra bedrooms in our house, we said, all right, we've got room. We're going to get some exchange students. You know, how else are we going to, fill it with some exchange students. So
this was last February, 2017.
Yeah. Like a year ago, we decided to do this. Okay. So we're like, we'll get an Italian. We'll keep our Italian language up. We'll keep our connection to Italy. You know, we got Chiara. We signed up for Chiara first. And then I don't know why we did that. We said, hey, let's get two. If we're going to get one, we might as well get two. Right. So we signed up for Ellie. We picked a German. Because we thought, well, we had known Germans in the past. We liked them. We worked well with them, we thought, you know. So we got the two girls. You know, they showed up.
We got them last July.
So they've been here, what, eight or 9 months since July. And, you know, we've had our moments. They all fight like sisters. And they love like sisters. I mean, you have moments when it's scratching and hitting and, you know, like sisters, and other moments where they're sprawling all over each other, hugging and loving. And so it kind of fluctuates daily, but we have had a chance to just live our lives with them and let them just kind of be a part of life. And
last fall, we got an email, August, from Black Forest asking us, they had our file already. They asked us to consider coming this year for dorm parents. They needed four sets of dorm parents. And we right away said, no, thank you, but no, not yet. We'll consider it down the road, but this is not the time. We've got this house God has given us. We've got these two girls that we're starting to pour our lives into. We can see this as a ministry that continues on multiple years, different kids, but the same thing. And so we said, thank you, but no, not right now. And, so time went on and we got a discouraging letter from team saying that we weren't going to be able to do a part-time support ministry that we were looking at doing financially to help us continue that ministry that we're doing now. They kind of said, we're not able to do this because we're nonprofit for tax reasons, some different things. We're not able to do this, unfortunately. So we were really discouraged that day, and that email came that last November, the 13th. And we sat down. I sat down to write back and couldn't. I just couldn't write back. We were pretty hurt and discouraged.
I even said, aren't you going to send that email? And you said, I can't. I literally can't even. I don't know what to say.
There's something in me preventing me to can't. So,
yeah.
So we went to bed that night, and the next morning we woke up, and BFA, Black Forest Academy, had emailed us again 2 or 3 months afterwards and said, hey, we still need two couples. Will you please consider, and, you know, for this next year? And, of course, then we're thinking, that's only like 10 months away or 11 months away, whatever it was, 8 months. And so we literally could not fathom, but we said, this time, yes, we will actually devote time to pray and think about this and see what the Lord does. So we did, and we took it after a few weeks. We took it to a few others, had them pray about it, eventually took it to our elders, had them pray about it at our church. And in January, the elders and everyone else that had been praying, everyone was all good. The Holy Spirit had said, you know, really revealed to them, this is good, this is okay, this is what we can move forward as. So we had to make the decision in January. We shared with our girls at that point and said, hey, we're looking at doing this.
Do you think we're crazy?
We wanted to gauge. We wanted to gauge.
Well, because we expected, you know, we have pulled them all over the place. They've been in more schools than they could probably name for you offhand, you know, and we fully expected them to say, no, we're done, mom and dad. Like,
you know, we're doing well here in the States. You know, we're enjoying this and everything.
Fully expected that.
But it wasn't. We got great responses from both of them. Tears from
Bella
one.
Was so happy she cried.
Tears from
Bella
one.
Cries when she's really happy, which is funny, but she does.
And Gwenny, who never wants to leave who she has right in the moment, she said, I'm excited. And we said, we don't believe it.
But I thought it was a joke, honestly.
She was excited about this. So then we realized that we had to make a decision finally, and so we did, and we said yes, and that was this past end of January, really, kind of, beginning of February time frame. And so we've said, Lord, we'll do this. You know, and we look back over this last year and a half with the house, with Ellie and Kiata, and this life we've lived. Financially, it was really tough last year. But the Lord has made it work in unique ways. And I look back and I have no regrets for what we did for two reasons. One is the name of Kiata, and one is the name of Ellie. Those two girls who have been living with us, even if that's all the Lord wanted to do, which I don't believe it, he's more dynamic than that. He works in ways we never fully comprehend. But even if it's just those two reasons right there, it's enough for us to know that what we've done these last year and a half, the struggles we've gone through, has been well worth it. And we've seen the fruition of that in one actual tangible way already. About 4 weeks ago from this weekend, Ellie, the German, she gave her life to Christ. And it was something that we did not push, that we could not have done. It was all her decision. Our impact in her life, so many others at church and different places, and the Lord opened her ears and opened her heart. So we are so excited in that sense. And we continue to pray for Kiata that she does too. We don't know if, we don't know when. It would be great if she did. It would be great if she did it while she's still here, that we could enjoy that and you know, give God glory in the same presence. But we don't know that for sure. It's him and her that's got to really make that happen. So
we were talking to Dave and Carrie last night at Ted Wanda's house, and just if you would have asked us a year ago if I would have understood the validity of this type of ministry, I probably would have told you no, that I didn't understand why it was needed or why it was important. If someone would have said, go to be a dorm parent, like, I don't know that I would have genuinely understood what that meant or how that was needed. And so I think this year was pivotal for us. One, just to see how just simply living your life with people and letting them be a part of your life. It doesn't take anything special. There's nothing different about us than anybody else. It literally just takes you being willing to share your life with people. There's no special thing that you have to do. And Ellie, you know, as she was telling us about her accepting Christ, you know, part of her thing was just, you know, living and being with Christians and just seeing how they live life. It's different than what she had ever seen before. But that takes you letting people in your life, and it takes you letting them see that you don't just come to church for an hour on Sunday and then you leave, you know, that your life is a continuation of church. Your life is church. Your life is, you know, letting the Lord be in it all the time. And people can see that that's different. You know, it doesn't take any great message. We haven't had these amazing theological talks and these events. It's literally just watching life
slowly
unfold.
God slowly opened her heart.
And so for me, her accepting the Lord was needed for me to understand the validity of this. Like, it was needed for me to truly get that that's a real thing, you know. And Andy was saying in the first service that was, you know, Jesus with you know, just let people live life, you know, with him, and just did life with people and let them come alongside when they wanted to and was there with them in the dirty. And it's not pretty. I don't expect it to be pretty with 20 kids driving me bonkers. Yeah, I don't. Like, it's not pleasant sometimes, but there's a difference in how, you know, a Christian is supposed to live their life with people versus somebody else, and they should be able to see that difference. So that was needed for me, at least.
So we're going from having two extras with our five to having 20 extras with our five. So it's something to where obviously we've already been experiencing this on a smaller scale. Then we go to a much bigger scale and in a different country and with many different people coming from all over different countries. So,
and we do have help. There are two post-college grads that live in the dorm with us that also help. So they call them RAs, you know, resident assistants. So we do have help.
And we,
it's not just us.
We will have a separate apartment right there with the dorm, but we will have, as a family, separate quarters living. The RAs will live literally in there. So the kind of our leaders that will be under there, they told us and encouraged us and said, your RAs will be just as important to disciple as the students and these young high school kids that you'll be discipling. The RAs will be just as important as well. So that was something that we really hadn't thought about before, too. So, don't know if you have this or not. If you want it, take one. There should be some back on the table as you leave. If not, you can have this one. But if you don't want it, then don't take it. I mean, you know, it's up to you. You don't have to take this. But it has some information on there, who we are, who Team is, who Black Forest is. Mm-hmm. We're still being sent by Team. Yeah. Partnering with Team, we're being sent by our home church in Terre Haute. And then who Black Forest is, and then some kind of some questions that we often get asked about this. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to join us financially, the opportunity is there. I know you guys as a church body and your leaders are considering whether to support as a church body. But we also have a lot of individuals that also support. Even at churches that support us, individuals do too. I'd give you two or three caveats. Is that French or what is that?
Ooh, that was fancy.
Caveat?
Yeah.
Okay. Do I say caveats or caveat?
Caveat.
Caveat.
You got it.
Okay, good. Number one, if you want to support us individually, we gladly look forward to that. But we want you to do a couple things first. Number one, we want to make sure that you're supporting your local church body here. Don't support us in place of your church body. Don't support us instead of your church body. Or, you know, first and foremost, you need to be supporting your body here as you guys reach out in this community and also over the world with the other's missionary support. That's number one. Number two, if you do decide to support us individually, do it with a cheerful heart. There's no special amount. There's no specific amount you need to look for. The Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians in the letter, he says, do it with a cheerful heart. That's literally the only rule in doing that, all right? So we would gladly love you to join us if that's how the Lord leads you. Then I need to speak really quick.
Are you telling
here.
Me to leave?
Yeah, okay. You need to take it with you. Okay. So with all of that said, there's a tune in my head, and it goes like this. Let me see if I can do it. Wayne, can you hear that out there? Hopefully he can hear that whistling. He may think somebody turned the TV on in here. He may come running in to see the Andy Griffith Show. But in Andy Griffith, many of you probably know it, Andy Griffith had a guy named Otis, right? Otis, good old Otis. The town what?
Drunk.
That's all he was known for, really. I think later in the series, we knew that he had a wife and things, but he was the town drunk. So my question is, why are we here today? Why are we here? Obviously, that's a very broad question. That could be answered in many ways. Why are we here? You mean, why are we here at this church? Why are you guys here? Why are we here? What are you asking? Why are we here? Why are we on this earth? That's a valid question, right? All of us have to face that at some point. Why are we here? Otis, you know, I think some of his problem that he had was he worked for the weekends, and then the weekends we just blew it all away drinking and getting drunk. And I think one episode, he even on Friday before he got drunk, he brought in his Sunday clothes into the jail so that on Sunday morning he could go get a quick change into his clothes. Anybody see that one or not? Maybe not. That's a real one, I promise. But he didn't really have purpose, did he? He really didn't have purpose in life. And I think that was his trouble. When his job stopped during the week, he didn't have a purpose. There was nothing to do. There was nothing for him to do. And his purpose, he thought, was just to work. And then outside of that, he could just do whatever he wanted. Well, I can tell you our purpose is not just to work. It is a God-given gift to work, by all means. We had work before we ever sinned. God gave Adam work. But one verse that has really just continued to impact me is found in Matthew. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't, you can just listen, because I'll read to you. It's in Matthew at the very end of the chapter, Matthew chapter 28. Jesus has lived two or three years with all kinds of people, but especially his disciples, his apostles, people he was really pouring into and teaching, and he had the purpose and the plan for them to carry on what he had started. So at the end here of Matthew chapter 28, in verse 16 and on, but I'll just read a little bit. before he ascended, he had already risen, he had already died on the cross for their sins. Before he ascended, he gave them some instruction, a command. He said in chapter 28 and verse 18, "Then Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age.'" Okay, so here Jesus gives them some commands, some very, very important commands. If these disciples would not have taken those commands seriously, this whole second half of the Bible, we probably wouldn't even have. God used them and through the Holy Spirit wrote a lot of these letters and testimonies for us to bear witness, to see their witness and stuff. But then at the very beginning, halfway through, we see, "Go therefore." Jason and I always like to joke about, we had somebody that used to teach and say, "Therefore." Why is therefore? What is therefore there for? Right? There's a therefore, but what's it there for? There's a reason that that's there, and it's because it is impacting something. So he says, basically he's saying, go make disciples of all nations. That's the first caveat. That's the first priority. Go make disciples of all nations. And in that, also baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. See, it wasn't the apostles' story. It wasn't their thing that they were carrying on. They were carrying on what God had given them, what God had given Jesus, what Jesus had given God. And there was only one way, which in Acts at the beginning, there's another command in there that's almost similar to this one. And God says, Jesus says, because you will have the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that we can do any of this, through the Holy Spirit. But he's telling them there, so the mission for them that he's given them is to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, I don't strictly think it was them physically going, every single one of them. It was encompassing that as well. But if you think about what mark these scriptures God has used and Christ has used in the world, it's also the scriptures too, the word of God, which is Christ himself here. Two ways that he's done that. But to make disciples of all nations and to disciple. In Acts it says to witness, to bear witness. The same concept is to bear witness of Christ. And the question then arises, but how? In Acts we see him say, because you're going to have power from the Holy Spirit. In this here we hear him say, all authority has been given to me in heaven, but also on earth. All authority. I'm going to read something real fast for you. You can write this down if you want or just remember it. You don't have to turn to it. But back in Revelation, I want to give you an idea of what authority means. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 9 through 5 and 9, it says, this is the Apostle John, who was a friend and close loved person of Jesus. John is writing this revelation. This is John writing. "Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to the one seated on the throne, who is God, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before the one seated on the throne and worship the one who lives forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, and say, 'Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, because you have created all things, and because of your will, they exist and were created.'" Okay? There's some authority right there, first and foremost. Then it continues, "Then I," John is speaking here, "saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne, a scroll with writing on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or even to look at it. And I cried and cried because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even to look in it." It doesn't end there, thankfully. "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Stop crying. Look, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has been victorious so that he may open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. He had the ability to do that when no one else could. But again, it doesn't end there. When he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, now previously they served God. Do you remember? God and God alone on the throne. They each fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You ever wonder what happens to your prayers? Do you think they're like mail that they kind of come, God gets them, he answers them, or chooses to ignore them, whatever, and then kind of throws them aside? It doesn't look like that here. If you're in Christ, you are a saint because of what Christ did for you. You are considered a saint, so your prayers are kept and treasured up there. And those elders with those bowls have thrown those before God, before Christ. And they sang a new song. So something changed there when Christ took that scroll. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slaughtered and you redeemed people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. I want to keep reading, but that's got to stay on point here. So you want to ask what Christ means when he told the disciples in Matthew chapter 28 and said, here is how you're going to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them. This is how you're going to do it. All authority has been given to me, Christ said, in heaven and on earth. I have all authority now. We just read about it right there in Revelation. God has given Christ all authority, and righteously so. So we have the authority to do that. And the other aspect that we're learning here in chapter 28 is not only just our mission, not only just how we do it through the authority of Christ and through the Spirit, but one other aspect is not to worry. In Acts, when Christ is talking to the apostles in Acts at the very beginning, they're worried about, is this your time? Is this the time? Is this when you're going to set up your kingdom fully and holy? Is this the moment? And he said to them, times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority is not your deal. You don't have to worry about that. So in the same way, we see Christ in this section here, same similar thing, say at the end, I am with you always to the end of the earth. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. The times, the periods, they don't matter. Your job is to go on mission to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them. How? Because I have all authority. I have all authority given to me in heaven and on earth. And through the Holy Spirit, I give from that authority to you. And you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about time. You don't have to worry about when it ends, when everything happens. We see in Acts, the apostles do that. The apostles carry that out. They bear witness. They do all of that. And then to end here in Revelation chapter 22. If you've never read Revelation, try to. JC forever didn't read it because she was scared. It's like a lot of things that didn't make sense. A lot of imagery that's not what we're familiar with. But there are such good things in Revelation of what has come, what is coming, and what is coming. And it's all good if you're in Christ. It doesn't mean bad things won't happen, but it's all good because guess what? Every single person, every knee in heaven, every knee on earth, every knee under earth will bow before Christ. Amen. So everyone, everything is headed to one location, yes, to one destination. It's Christ. Mm-hmm. There's no other way about it. Every single person, everything, we are all headed to Christ, which should be reassuring for all of us who are in Christ, no matter what happens in between there, no matter what bad things we go through, spiritually, physical ailments, emotional hardships, it's all headed to Christ. And if we're in Christ, we have that promise, we have that hope. But if we're not in Christ, I leave you with this. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Apostle John, close to ending the Revelation there, says, both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Anyone who hears should say, come. And the one who is thirsty should come. Whoever desires should take the living water as a gift. And those of us in Christ know that that is all talking about him, about Jesus, who has all the authority, who has paid our penalty, our errors, fully and wholly. Nothing that we can do to be removed from that. And all he asks is that we come to that, come to him. And Jesus ends, his last words that we see him saying in verse 20 says, John says, he who testifies about these things says, or Christ who testifies about these things says, and then his words say, yes, I am coming quickly. So let us be encouraged, those of us in Christ. He is coming. Those of us who are in Christ, we should know we can't be like Otis. And I'm not talking about just getting drunk and things like that. We have a purpose. We are to be living our life in Christ. That's not here in this building right now. That's every moment that we're alive, every moment that we're out in the community, every moment that we're in a store, every moment that we're sitting by ourselves in our house. Every moment can be lived for Christ through prayer, through fellowship with him, through worship of him. Every moment is a worshipful, possible worshipful moment that we can give to God. And we need to do that. And if we're not in Christ, we need to come so that we can begin to do that. Every breath that we have left in us, we don't owe it to the Lord, but we do. We have the privilege. We have the honor to represent him. And the song that we sang, I can't remember the title, There's a Redeemer. Keith Green, maybe some of you know him. His wife, Melody, wrote that. You've sent your spirit until your work on earth is done. That's how that song ends. I don't know if you guys knew that and paid attention, but that's our job. We're in the spirit. We get to continue what Christ started until he returns, or until we return to him, whichever is first. So let me pray real quick. Yes.
Go ahead and pray and then stay there for a second.
Stay here.
Give them a couple minutes for questions.
Okay. Sure. Heavenly Father, the only opportunity we have to come to you is through your son, Jesus. Amen. And he said that himself, that he is the only way, the truth, the life, that no one can come to you except through him now. And we thank you so much that even when we were sinners, before we were even born, that your son obediently obeyed you and came here to die, because it was your will, Father, that you loved the world so much that you gave him your one and only son, Lord, that I can't imagine sending one of my children to die, to suffer for people that don't deserve, Lord, and we are all so undeserving, but you did. You sent your one and only son to take on our punishment that we fully deserve so that we could be redeemed to you and reconciled to you. And ultimately so that would all bring you glory, Lord, because you are worthy of praise and honor. Amen. I thank you for him, and I thank you for his perfect sacrifice, Lord, that we have the ability to not only call him Savior and King of all kings, but we can call him brother. Lord, that he calls us brothers for those of us who are in him. Pray that you give us a wonderful week ahead, and I thank you for this opportunity that we've had to glorify you today through worship of word, your word, through the worship of music that glorifies you, Lord, and through fellowship of being together as a body. And for any, Lord, that do not know you, that have not come to you through your son's sacrifice, Lord, I pray that you would lead them to that you would open their hearts, Lord, expand the body here. It's all in Jesus' name that I pray, and in his power. Amen.